Çoğusun bir yancı kadar girdi de nasıl lavan gir bence der der no. Nın gidi asın kumpanlar orvan kambaçı gidi Allah sorvan dem der cümle bulur na çöle gir o nelik tava tabra şen girlo. Rovan amka da omnyan bir semçen amca topşablan eme parlam roktan gir. Zopu sana gidi kumpanlar bacım çoğun yedi tabra şaad. I'm a little bit nervous. Not at all. Good evening, and I'm so grateful having this talk here at Shambhala Publication, and I'm so excited to discuss this topic with all of you here and also people who are going to listen and watch the video. But first tonight, I would like to say one of the most important thing as a Buddhist practitioners to focus on, the motivation, the quality of the motivation is so important. So all of you are here. I'm sure a lot of you have been studying Buddha Dharma. But it's so important whether we're listening, contemplating, and meditating. The first thing we should to focus on, which is the motivation. Examine the motivation, why we came here tonight, and why we are listening these teachings, or why we are contemplating on certain subjects of Buddha Dharma, or why we are sitting on the cushion and trying to do the meditation. And if our motivation is not that pure, then we should always try to fix it and try to generate positive motivation, which we call as a Buddhist bodhicitta. And some of you may know this, some of you may not have heard this word, but the most important thing is not just grasp on the word, the meaning, the excellent motivation, not just to focus on our own selves, focus on the others, whether we are listening or contemplating or meditating, that motivation which I just mentioned is so important. So therefore, for six talks from tonight, we're going to get together and you're going to be as a attendant of this talk. And me, myself, and Allison are going to present the teachings. But I would say this talk has some unique qualities. I'm not bragging up here. And I'm not trying to being charming up here. I'm saying this has some unique quality because I'm representing this talk based on Tibetan Buddhist tradition and way of thinking and share that. And also at the same time, I'm sharing the teachings based on understanding Western mind and Western culture and Western society. So that's what I feel a little bit unique. But especially, Allison is here to share her understanding the Buddha Dharma as a Western woman who grew up, who experienced so many different cultures and that Western people have. But she started to practice Buddha Dharma and how she really adapted this Buddha Dharma tradition came from land of Tibet. So I feel this program is going to be really unique because she has a lot of things to share. And she has a lot of in common things that you all have. So that's the reason I feel really unique, and therefore examine your motivation and rejoice we all are here. And I'm going to get into that talk. First, we need to find meaning of life. Then we can find the direction, whether it's spiritual or ordinary life. Finding the meaning of life is a so essential thing and a so important thing to do. But as a modern world beings in, or human beings in modern world, we have no idea, or we don't know how to find the meaning of the life. So I'm going to turn this to Allison and what she's going to say. And
Okay. So, I guess for me, the meaning of life is finding that thing which alleviates suffering. And so that's where I found the Buddha Dharma, was just growing up as, sort of an ordinary, with ordinary aspirations, going to college, wanting to go to graduate school, wanting to have a career, wanting to have like a normal marriage and things like that, and sort of got interrupted when I was about 24 and I went to Nepal and I met Rinpoche. It was really wonderful for me, but at that time, I was kind of lost, or I didn't really have a direction that I was going. Kind of what Rinpoche said, like when we don't know what makes life meaningful, we don't really know where to go. So what wound up happening to me was when I got really interested in the Buddha Dharma, then I realized, if we don't have a way to alleviate our own suffering, then we have no way to connect with other people. And when we don't connect with other people, we're just terribly, terribly unhappy. And so, I felt that my upbringing, even in my family or in my culture or the school I went to, or probably the most prominent quality of my life was feeling disconnected or feeling different or feeling like other people were doing okay, but I couldn't figure out how they were doing it. How were they just like fitting into this society that we lived in? And so when I met Rinpoche, it was sort of like I met the first person who could ever understand me. So that was a pretty wonderful thing. And then Rinpoche started talking about how important it is to connect with others, how important it is to realize that probably almost everybody out there feels exactly the same way, and that we have so much in common, but we spend our lives feeling disconnected or feeling like we can't find each other, or we can't find the common ground we have with others. And maybe sometimes also feeling sort of attached to being different or being unique, even though that is, can be so painful. So when I found what I found meaningful in life was sort of that, the four-line verse in Buddhism that we often use, which is that all sentient beings wish to be happy. They wish to be free from suffering. They wish to experience joy, and they wish to experience equanimity, like the four immeasurable qualities. I'm sure that's what comes to mind when I think about finding the meaning in life.
Good. And yeah, so what I feel being in the West, we really do not have appreciations being a human being. And we do not see how precious this life is. That's the first thing we need to find. Otherwise, we don't know how to really use this life for a good purpose. And a lot of us are almost like lost because we do not have any appreciations with our lives, with what we have, with what we do. So the first thing which can help us to find this life,
meaning in this life,
meaning in this life, is finding this, feel we have this precious life. No one have it. Finding that preciousness of human life is so important for as an ordinary being who want to be happy, live happily, live joyfully, live peacefully. If we can feel of this preciousness of human life, and we're not going to waste the time we have. Of course, if we can find this preciousness of as a human being, we use this to develop spiritual practice. So as a Tibetan Buddhist, the first thing what we discuss, the foundation of Buddhist teachings, is realize how precious this life is. And also to, at the same time, to understand how precious others' life is. That's so important. If we really realize this life is so precious, we're not going to waste and damage or contaminate this life. And also, we do not want to hurt others. Others' life is also precious. Finding preciousness in this life individually can connect others also have that precious life. So finding this life is so precious is so important. Then that will help us to respect our life. And also can develop to respect others. So it's something so important in Buddhist tradition, realizing life is so precious. In general, life is so precious. I'm talking about general life, including beings who have form, like body or whatever kind of beings who have the consciousness. But especially human beings, this life is so precious because we can do more things. We're capable of doing things and help others, serve others, than any other beings on this planet. So therefore, it doesn't matter whether you believe in Buddhism or any other religion. It doesn't matter. If we really can develop to see or to realize or to recognize we all have this precious human life, we can really do something that can help others and that can bring some happiness and peace and joy for others and for ourselves. So therefore, this is really condensed teaching, but we all need to realize how precious this life is. Every morning and every evening and whenever you can, be happy what life you have and recognize how lucky you are, how fortunate you are to have this life, and especially be born in the West. Not many Western people are realizing life in the West is really, really, in Tibetan we call it pensum tsopa.
Abundant.
Abundant. But one thing is pretty weak because we do not realize how precious this life is.
So I was thinking about how is it that we sort of experience the preciousness of human life? And one way that I feel like Rinpoche has taught me to do that is the idea of sharing happiness with others. So our normal way of living in the world is, especially in the West, I've realized since traveling to Asia and being with Tibetans a lot, you know, everything that we think and feel tends to be right on our face or right in our body language. So if we're upset or we're angry or we're irritated or agitated, we tend to express that energy or to share that with people all the time. So Rinpoche said, well, what about sharing joy and happiness with others? And if you really feel that your life is precious and you really feel I'm doing my very best, you know, sort of to develop my spiritual life and to use the life that I have for good, it would seem that there will be many moments during the day that when we feel that gratitude, we could express that to others. And in an indirect way, we could help them also see the value of their life rather than being sort of the person who comes in and casts a dark cloud on the room. You know, we could be the person that lightens up the room or shares happiness with others. Another way that I think we recognize the preciousness of human life is through rejoicing. So oftentimes when we see things around us, we could have a negative reaction. If we hear that someone got something that we wanted, we might think, why did that person get it and I didn't? Or if we hear, I remember being in Japan and Bill Gates had donated like a huge amount of money to a medical project in Africa. And I remember there was this other American guy who was kind of jaded, and he didn't feel happy that Bill Gates had donated this huge amount of money. He was talking about how corrupt the American system was, that there was a person who could have so much money that they were able to donate it. So really, the Buddhist teachings say that when people do good actions and we rejoice in their good actions, that what we gain is equal to what others gain. So simply by having that positive motivation and that rejoicing or that connection with others with whatever they do, we're sharing our happiness and we're sharing their merit and we're bringing good feelings and positive energy to the world. I think when we are reflecting on the value of life or the preciousness of human life, we have to do a lot to uplift ourselves because our normal way of thinking is to focus on the negative. We don't want to listen to the news. We don't want to know what's going on in the world because it seems like there's too many negative situations and too much difficulty and we want to shield ourselves from it. But we can also change our perspective and we can look for the positive things that are happening maybe in our own community or in our own house or our own workplace or our own family and sort of shift our focus and shift the way that we're looking at things. And that can help all of us to recognize that life is valuable and precious and that there's an opportunity to develop spiritually all the time.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's from general, maybe Western way of thinking and point of view. But the thing is, this nature of a human being, We do not want to share things that we have or things bring us some joy or happiness or peace. We want to keep it for ourselves. But we want to show other things which make us unhappy. And bring us sufferings. But from Buddhist point of view, the skillful Buddhist practitioners, we really need to learn a skill to bring any situation to support the practice, the path we're on. Whether things make us so miserable, most of us are miserable every day, day and night. But if we learn the skill, that pattern will slowly change. And in general, this is not just a Western society. When human beings are happy or have things what they have, and we always forget the suffering. And we completely occupied that attachment towards the happiness or the joy, the temporary joy we have. So we need to learn, for example, skillful skiers like both sides. We can fall down from this side and it can hurt. And the fell down from this side, it can hurt. So that means if we are really into happiness and peace and joy and a grasp on it and really, really clinging on it, that grasping, that attachment, that clinging will bound us and become the cause of pain, cause of unhappiness, cause of suffering. So we also need that skill to learn how to not attach to it. And at the same time, when we are feeling sad or experiencing sadness, pain, death, or sickness, or aging, or changes, whatever suffering we're experiencing, we also should not really attach to that and identify with that and learn another skill to see, to connect with others. Also experiencing almost exact suffering, pain, what you're experiencing. So it's something so important to learn as a spiritual practitioner, especially in modern world. We need to learn that skill to be balanced. Then maybe even if you do not have that goal to become a serious Buddhist, but at one point you can be balanced and you can find some peace and joy in this ordinary life. Because we have skills not attached to this world, the temporary happiness. And also, we do not try to push away or try to identify with the sufferings or making that suffering so unique. We can have a skill to connect with others. If you practice or you are practicing like a bodhisattva path, things like that, you can use both situations as a positive condition for your practice and for your support of your path and practice. That's the skill we need to learn, whether we want to be Buddhist or not. But most of the time, either we are so attached to this ordinary life, and nothing is enough, and nothing makes us happy, and or so attached to, even though we know the suffering, the pain we're experiencing is going to cause more suffering, but we still attach to it, and we feel our suffering is something so unique than anyone else is experiencing. So if we just let ourselves be that way, we cannot really use the path, the practice to bring rejoicing or learning this path, the practice to transform the situations, suffering or happiness into the path of Buddha Dharma.
I think one of the really wonderful things about studying with a teacher is that they give you a lot of tools. So when I listen to Rinpoche teach, I've heard him give so many thousands of talks now. I can recall all these different instructions that he's given, and it came to me like when Rinpoche was talking about achieving balance, and especially when we work to achieve balance, it does really help us to value the life that we have. It helps us to sort of value all of the different situations in our life, and especially if we start to have an appreciation for what Rinpoche is talking about, that both really painful or really happy situations becoming attached or chasing after either the one of us can bring us a lot of suffering, we can really start to value every situation as an opportunity to develop our spiritual practice. So among the topics that Rinpoche already mentioned tonight, I think that focusing on the excellent motivation really helps us to do that. It's like a kind of mind training that you can come back to all the time. If we think to ourselves, like, I'm not just doing this for myself, I'm doing it for others, or if we come across a really difficult situation or a painful situation, I'm gonna train in patience right now, and that will help me and this other person that I'm with, who maybe I'm disagreeing with. I'm gonna try to bring harmony to that connection. If we can keep coming back to that motivation like a touchstone, it really can help us to find that value in life or that value in the moment or in that situation, because that situation then becomes a way to purify these patterns and these habits that we all have, which takes a lot of effort. It's very hard to change. Rinpoche also mentioned, I mentioned rejoicing, and Rinpoche talked about it again, but feeling happy about the good things that others have and trying to change those patterns that we have within us that really cause us to not value life, that kind of cause us to bring negativity into our connections and into our environment. And also repeated application. None of us are going to change without a lot of effort, and none of us is going to really spend a lot of time even thinking about using at all of the moments that we have in life for spiritual development without a lot of effort and a lot of repeated application. So a big focus of living and dying with confidence is that idea that we have to work on training the mind every single day. And these changes don't come easy to us, even though we naturally have a good heart, you know, and especially the Buddhist teachings. We believe that all beings have inherent and natural compassion and loving kindness for others. But at the same time, it's so obscured and covered up. It's very hard for us to connect with. And often when we look at others, we have trouble seeing their good qualities. And so it does take an extraordinary amount of effort for us to find that we do have that in common with everyone, and we do have that connection with everyone, and to start to feel that, and to start to feel I'm going to be the one who's going to bring positive energy, or I'm going to express joy as part of this relationship, or I'm going to bring levity to this relationship, or I'm going to do whatever I can, you know, to sort of turn around whatever habit I've cultivated in a certain connection or with a certain person. What do you think, Rinpoche?
Okay. I guess so.
Guess so.
And even though intellectually you all understand what the Buddha said, what the Buddhist teachers are saying or teaching, intellectually we do understand. But emotionally, none of us are accepting it. Accepting the things, the situation is so important. We do not accept the life we have. We do not accept the situations which we're facing. We do not accept who we are. Either we think we're really so important, or we hate ourselves. This acceptance is so important for the Buddhist foundation or for a human being or for a spiritual practitioner. Really, really important. If we can develop this quality, we really can live spiritually. And also maybe we can die spiritually and confidently. It's so important. Isn't that the key? What do you guys think? We do not accept the situation, right? We don't. We do not want to accept the life, what we have. If we could, we can be happier. But somehow, we really do want to fight with the situation. So there's something going on between Western culture and Western philosophy and Western mind and Eastern or Tibetan Buddhists. Tibetan Buddhists always encourage the students or the people should accept the situation. So I do think that's a really important topic we need to think for tonight, until maybe next talk. If we could really accept what we're facing, what the experience, what the situation we're experiencing, whether it's something happiness situation or unhappiness situation. If we have that strength to accept it, we can be much more skillful how? Because if we accept something peaceful, joy, happiness, which we're experiencing, if we accept it and we enjoy it, we know how to enjoy it, we're not going to ruin that happiness based on attachment or grasping or clinging. And we will have the skill to experience that happiness. And also, if we're experiencing a death or someone who died or someone who's like really sick or experiencing a change in life, relationship, or financial changes, if we accept the situation, we can be more skillful to use that situation to develop our skills. For example, if someone dies in our lives, if we're so attached to it, we do not feel we're capable of to find a solution or way to release that grief. And we're stuck. But if we try to accept the situation, what were we facing? Then we may have a space to breathe and have another way to maybe improve or see differently, see the world differently. Maybe you can connect with the rest of the world, others also experiencing death and dying, or some kind of a life like financial changes. If we accept that financial change, and we will find another way to get out of that suffering and find a new way. So we really need to learn how to accept the situation, the life, and from there, we can really develop the skills to improve our individual spiritual practice and learn also how to serve and help others. This is same as what Allison was saying. If we learn those kind of skills, that energy influence others. But if we always show that depressed personality and feel so depressed, then that influence others, and that brings others to suffering, others unhappiness. So if we can accept the situation, but this is a really tough topic. Really difficult topic. So just think, Tibetan Buddhist masters really got through that huge spiritual change and also like completely flipped upside down since China invaded Tibet. But they got through that obstacle, that situation, because they accepted the situation and they did not identify with that situation and felt like there's no hope or no way to get out of that situation. They used that situation as a positive or good condition to develop their realization or spiritual practice or compassion, loving kindness, and bodhicitta. Therefore, still there are so many realized Tibetan lamas who came to the West, who are still in Tibet. So it's something so important. It's a topic we need to do some discussions and to think why, big question mark, as a human being, normally we cannot accept the situation. Especially why, as a Western person, cannot accept the situation or the life. What do we have? But there's another thing we need to discuss too. What I'm saying, trying to say here is, oh yeah, you should accept who you are. Do not need to change. No, I'm not saying that. There's a huge discussion. A lot of modern spiritual teachers are teaching, oh, we should accept who we are and we do not need to do anything. No, we really need to do a lot of things. But the thing is, we need to learn how to accept the reality, the situation.
So when Rinpoche teaches, I'm not always in the habit of not completely agreeing with him, but since we're teaching together, I'll say something about Western culture. I do think that emotional acceptance is key to spiritual development, but I also think that sometimes the Tibetan way is too passive. So like when I met Rinpoche, he was 29, and Rinpoche said, I'm too old to learn English. But that's like a kind of acceptance of your situation in a sense that makes you not feel like I'm gonna do something different. Or I think that that enthusiasm that Westerners have, that they feel capable and they feel empowered to do things, is a really strong part of Western culture. But the thing that I find fault with myself is that I'm not good at distinguishing when I should try to change something and when I shouldn't. So I accept, oftentimes, like I accept what situations are happening in my life, but I'm constantly looking for solutions, not realizing that even if I solve one problem, that another problem is just gonna happen because that's how life is. And so that's a way that when we do feel capable and empowered, that we can spend a lot of energy and it can be self-defeating. I think there's a middle ground where when we accept what's happening, that it helps us to connect with others and to connect with society or to connect with a certain situation so that it can be workable. But at the same time, we can also look for ways, like Rinpoche's been talking about, like look for ways of how we're gonna use that situation for the better. I think for myself, yeah, I'm a person who always wants to solve problems, and sometimes that's not the best quality. Some problems maybe aren't worth putting our energy into, and we can become sort of lost in trying to solve a problem that maybe is better just to be left alone or to accept.
Is that all you have?
Well, I can say something else from Shay.
Okay. It seems Allison is agreeing at the same time disagreeing.
As I always do.
That's what she does.
Yeah.
but we're still together. It seems okay. It seems there's like acceptance between us. But the question I have is why, really? There's something, really. We always want to fight. Mm-hmm. That's this culture. Is the situation. It's a good thing. But also, sometimes it brings a lot of problems and suffering. So why? This is the question for all of you. It's so hard for us to accept what we have, or what we are facing, or what we're experiencing. Why is it so hard to accept?
Oh, I have the answer, Rinpoche. I know the answer.
No, not you.
Yeah, no. Because it's not fair. Tibetans don't have the fair thing. Tibetans don't care about what's fair and not fair. But Americans really care about what's fair. And we think if it's not fair, then we should try to fix it.
Okay.
Right?
That's fine. But I would love to hear something from someone I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask then, that lady who's holding a pen. Yes.
From my point of view, the only way we really can do something and be effective to try and make something better is to start from a place of acceptance, and that we we only really serve when we're not pushing against, but creating something positive.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Okay. I would love to hear what Carolyn is going to say.
Well, I think this is not in contradiction to what Sue just said, but I think one of the big things that happens, and it is particularly in the West, is a lot of speed.
What?
A lot of speed. Like
speed?
Yeah, being really, really fast. And so that quality of wanting to fix things, which I can relate to a lot, that Allison said, I think it also can come from a lot of speed. Like you think you see what needs to be done and what needs to happen, but you kind of skip over, it's so easy to skip over the really deep acceptance that you don't necessarily have to change it or fix it, but it's kind of the antidote is inside the situation as it is. And if you can't slow down, you can't see clearly enough. If
okay.
That makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. It's from speeding, okay, speed the life of what we have. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I look at this from a medical background.
What's that?
Look at this from a medical background.
Okay.
That's what I do. We used to have the disease polio.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonas Salk had to accept that, yes, there was this disease that was paralyzing a generation of children.
Okay.
But he did not accept it so much that he did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He started the research and was motivated by accepting a bad situation in order to make a vaccine so that pretty much you do not see this condition anymore in the West.
Good.
So he used it as a motivation to do something positive.
Good. I like that. But there is a weakness we human beings have. I'm not saying tonight here, we just should try to accept everything like a dog. It doesn't matter the owner, how the owner treat that dog. dog accepts the owner, whatever the way that dog, the owner treats the dog. I'm not saying to develop a skill like that. But I am saying, I'm trying to say something about this tonight is gain some skill and learn a skill to facing the situation. Exactly what you are saying. For example, there's a huge change happening in the life. Try to fix it. Good. But there's a point. Also accept and bring some maybe harmonious and hatred and resentment between the connection. It's not always fight. And exactly what you're saying, but develop a new medicine to treat a new disease. Accept the situation, what is happening, but look something else can help to take care of that situation. That's how we should use Buddha Dharma. Accept the death and the dying, or problems which happening in our lives, but not always clinging on it and attached to it, but find another way, maybe change or look different directions to fix it, to change it. It's almost like a medical point of view. But this habitual pattern which we developed is not just what a Buddhist point of view we developed in this lifetime. It's so hard to remove. We just want to fight and just completely focus on that and make that situation or turn that situation is the world, only world we have. We do not see any other things except that situation. Then we cannot find any way to change that situation, make that situation a little bit healthier. So that's the acceptance, what I'm trying to discuss here tonight. So I'm not saying, oh, it's just like become a careless person. Fine, that's happening, yeah? World is falling apart, who cares, yeah? That's the samsara and the situation. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying not just focusing only on that situation. I'm trying to find another way to make that situation a little bit better or healthier.
So Rinpoche, it seems like this is sort of where the beginning of the talk intersects with the end of the talk, because basically, if we become really self-involved in trying to fight with a situation or not accept a certain situation, then we're sort of distracted from our main purpose in life, right? Which was to find a way to connect with others. And also the way that we get out of this cycle of constantly sort of obsessing about a certain situation or a certain habitual way that we do things, the best way to get out of that is to find connection with others, which again, we do by reflecting on how others have a situation or life situations similar to ours, whether we're facing something difficult or whether we're facing something happy. Others are also facing the same thing, and maybe not in the same way, but one way we say that in the Dharma is to say, like, in accordance with their circumstances. So our circumstances all look different, but essentially we're all facing the same things. And so even though we may be, even when we're fighting with a certain problem, like if we're ill and we're getting treatment and we're trying to get better and we're really fighting with that, it seems like the fighting and the acceptance have to go together, mm-hmm. in a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. We have to accept what's happening at the same time that we're motivated to try and mm-hmm. solve it. Mm-hmm. And what I heard Carolyn saying that I really loved was when we sort of speed up, we can just focus on the fighting and just focus on that rapid activity and sort of skip over the rest of it. But when we do connect with others and we get out of our own head and get out of just focusing on ourselves, I think that's what allows us to really slow down and then to work with all these other aspects of the Dharma that we're talking about, like cultivating that excellent motivation. Oh yeah, all these other people are sick just like I am, and what can I do to help them? Or how can I be an example? Or how can I share what I'm learning mm-hmm. with them? Or how can I bring something positive to others? And so it's seems to me, Rinpoche, like this way that we kind of switch that when we bring acceptance and the motivation to or the fighting together.
Sure. For example, I have been in the West for more than 11 years. On one hand, I completely accepted Western culture, Western mind, and who you are. But the other hand, I'm still fighting with Western Buddhist practitioners in a skillful way. And the way I'm fighting is not just physically, fighting, but the way I fight or gain that courage to fight is finding the good quality of Western people. What potential Western people have. At the same time, I'm reflecting who I am. The thing bothers me the most from Western people is that my problem or their problem. Mostly as a human being, we feel it's their problem. But a lot of the time, that's also coming from me because of my identity. I feel they have to accept who I am no matter what. So if we all can really develop a skill like that, accept who I am as a spiritual teacher, a lot of students of mine are here. But at the same time, also you can see what good potential or parts you have. And you do not need to think like, oh, if I have to be his student or her student, I have to accept completely the way this person is saying. So the skill we need to build is accepting, but at the same time find another way to really transform that potential, what others have or what the situation have. So any situation, whether it's positive or negative, there's another way to look at it and then to accept it and to change it. If we accept the situation, for example, like Kayla is here tonight. Her father-in-law died a couple days ago. This is for you. You need to accept the death of your father-in-law. But at the same time, need to bring this situation to understand the life, what we are going to face. Then accepting the situation, but then you can use this situation to become more compassionate person and maybe connect with the rest of the world. And whoever lost the father-in-law last week or 2 weeks ago. So that's something we need to learn. Skill, it's always skill. Buddha Dharma is based on skill. But if we really attach to something strongly, then we do not see any other options that can help and release or the change the situation. Okay? And what else we have? You can ask a question, or Allison, you can say something. What's your name? What's your name?
I get in trouble when I think I know something.
Okay.
I know how to help people, and what I do is not helpful. So I need some help here.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the question?
Yeah, kind of. You can answer first.
Well, I get in exactly that same trouble. So I'm not sure I have a good answer for you, except that I think part of being self-centered, which I am and probably everyone here is that I get confused and I think that everybody thinks just the same way that I do. And sometimes I'm not a good listener because I think I already understand or I must know what that person thinks, or I must know exactly what they're experiencing. I think for me, it's like a kind of arrogance. And so many, many of Rinpoche's students want to talk to me about all kinds of things. And I have to really try to put that personality aside, and I have to try to actually be patient. So like, I know Rinpoche, when he teaches like on the paramitas, he talks about being willing to listen to people and give people time is like a kind of patience and generosity that we're very stingy with in our culture. Like, we don't want to spend time listening to someone. We just want to get to the gist of it. And so I guess making that space to hear what somebody else has to say is something that I've worked hard at. Takes effort for me.
Thank
okay.
you.
I have a question for you. In what kind of situation you want help but turns into not that helpful?
I have a friend who's an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me he wants to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he quits for a couple of days, and then we have some things to do, and when I get over there, he's already drunk again.
Yeah.
And I don't know the cause. I don't know why he does this, but it's periodically.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do?
Well, maybe your friend is here, maybe not, but I'm not taking your side. But what I think is, some things you can do, and some things you can't, no matter what. So therefore, even though your friend want to change, but that pattern is so strong, and it's almost have no hope to change when that pattern comes. It's like a wave. So therefore, I do not think you should think your action or your speech or the way you think is not helpful. Your heart is completely pure and want to help. But also you need to think the pattern, what he developed. So that's what you need to think. And some people cannot let go of that pattern because that pattern is so solid and so strong. But one thing maybe you can do is maybe find another way to communicate. That may be helpful. Other than that, you should not think, oh yeah, I'm trying to do this, but the way I'm doing things is not good enough, and maybe I'm doing something wrong. No. If you want to help a friend who's alcoholic or have that kind of like a strong pattern, your motivation is really, really nice. But maybe there are some skills that you can develop. But I'm not 100% sure you can really find a special skill and a tool to completely change that person. Because some people do not want to hear the things that they feel bad about him, themselves, and it hurts, and do not want it. And then someone who points out that kind of faults, and they get resentful towards that person, even though they know that person is trying to help, but for some reason, this
defensiveness,
want to defend. That's the best of culture, right? Ending. So I do not think you should think, okay, I'm doing something wrong. And also I do not think you should think like, oh yeah, he cannot change, or no, we don't have hope. But maybe try to find another way to work with it. But I wouldn't think there's a lot of way to. I know people like that in Tibet who drink. They go to a lama, and they say, from today on, I'm not going to drink. Maybe that evening, or a couple days later, they just drink and drink and drink. That pattern is hard to remove. Okay?
Okay.
I hope that helps.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So, anyone else has something? No. There's a hand back there. What's your name?
My name is Peter. Good evening, Rinpoche.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can help me with this. I have a 28-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She had a boyfriend who was very nice to her. Always brought her things, told her that he loved her, but she didn't feel that she could do the same towards him. That made her feel very bad about herself, like she wasn't a good enough person. Finally, she told her friends about this over and over, and they said, oh, you should, it's not the right thing, you should break up. So she broke up with him finally. And now she just is wallowing in pain, feels so terrible and so stupid and so like she's didn't appreciate this person who was being so kind to her, so she must be a terrible person. So she called me today, and I, you know, other than saying, you know, thoughts and emotions arise, they're insubstantial, these things will pass, allow yourself to feel what you're feeling, all this dharmic stuff,
mm-hmm.
doesn't do a thing.
Right. So I think on one hand, it's something so easy to take care of it. But again, accepting the situation. They already broke up. Accept it. And find a way to make that connection healthier. and not having that self-hatred feeling towards herself, and also regret about the situation, and have that feeling of guilt. Try to let go of those. That's so important. And not, we human being, as a human being, we always lost based on past and future. We're not here. If we can't be here, that can be really helpful. So past is past. So learn a way to let it go. And if she or whoever those people are can focus on present to do something now, automatically can fix the past and make the future healthier. But this is just modern world, but especially in the West, we have this unique thing about self-hatred, or I'm not good enough, or the feeling of guilt. That's the most unhealthy thing. And it does not help the situation at all. That feeling really hurt the situation much worse. So if you can help her to think, to accept the past. Shantideva said one thing. If we can fix the past, what's the point to worry about it? If we cannot fix the past, again, what's the point to really clinging on it? But when we say it intellectually, it's easy. Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. But when we bring it into emotional level or experiential level, it's so hard to do it. But if, again, this is kind of like a mind training, if we bring that quality over and over and over again, try to focus on the present, make her life healthier, and a way of thinking healthier, and the emotions healthier, then that can be a healing, and that release the things that she's really identifying with. I hope that helps. Mm-hmm.
The only, if I may,
We need to wrap.
Okay.
That's what I came with, was offering of Dharma.
Mm-hmm.
But she's so caught up in her wild mind and her emotions and the struggle that she can't hold her mind in one spot. Always it's just pulled off.
Yep.
And then I think she just needs a shoulder to cry on. And I'm on the telephone, I can't help her with that. So I feel sort of helpless. I don't know how to help.
Yeah, I think that emotional pattern is so powerful and so strong. So the thing is, you have this willingness to help. And her friends has this willingness to help. But the most important thing is she has to have that willingness to help herself. Yeah. And that's the most important thing. Until then, no matter who is there to support her emotionally, that emotional pattern is not going to go away.
Thank you, Rinpoche.
You're welcome. Okay, maybe that's going to be the last question. What's your name?
My name is Trish.
Mm-hmm.
In thinking about acceptance, I've kind of had this circular pattern where I think, okay, if I'm not accepting of a certain person or situation or whatever it is, then I become discontent. And I thought about it. It's like, well, why am I discontent? Do I feel like I know better than reality? Do I think I'm smarter? Which also kind of perpetuates the pattern. But I find that the more I can be accepting of things outside of myself, the more peace I have. And the less acceptance I have, the more pain I have. Just a statement.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that.
Ni tuma hangomas.
Tuwa mare.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rukkandi jaratan dam lama je tu dan chi chi da baro soro ande ke dan se rukkandi je zong ne tar tu ke ki gong gong ro chi shou. Mm-hmm.